us. Also, Parshas told us, and the Haftarah is found in the back of the Stone Chumash on page 1137. The Haftarah is taken from the opening chapter and a little bit into Perek Beis of Sefer Malachi. Sefer Malachi is the last of the 12 prophets, the Treyasar. And there's some debate as to who exactly this Navi Malachi is. Some of the Rabbanon identify him as being Ezra HaSofer. I think that's probably the most common identification, that Malachi is really more of a title than it is a proper name. Malachi, my messenger, my agent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servant. So some of the Chazal identify this particular Navi with Ezra. Some say that Ibn Ezra over here writes, for instance, that Malachi is just a proper name. His name was Malachi. In any case, we do know approximately when he lived. He's one of the few Nevi'im who prophesies at the beginning of the Second Temple period. Most of the Nevi'im engaged in their Nevuas during the period of the Bayis Rishon. And Malachi, somewhat uncharacteristically, was one of the Nevi'im who prophesied during the Second Temple period, together with Haggai and Zechariah, the Nevi'im who were towards the end of the Trei Asa. Okay. We'll go through the Psukim first. We'll see one obvious connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha. But then I think as we get into the Haftarah a little bit more, we'll see that there's even a deeper connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah, one which I think, when we appreciate it, will shed a lot of light on the Parsha in a way in which I think previously we wouldn't necessarily have understood the Parsha in this way. Okay, so it's the bottom of page 1137. Maso Devar Hashem El Yisrael B'yad Malachi. This is the Nevuah. Again, Masa literally is a burden. What they translate here in the English, the prophetic burden, so to speak. The Navi is burdened by a prophecy which is given to him by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's almost like he can't help but prophesize. Right, the Pasuk says, Hashem Elokim Diber Milo Yinoveh. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you a Nevuah. The Navi simply can't contain himself. So this is the prophecy concerning Yisrael that was given over to this individual Malachi. Ahavti Eschem Omar Hashem. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have always loved you, the Jewish people. Va'amartem Bamo Ahavtonu. Shall you say Bamo Ahavtonu? So that's sort of a funny question to translate. The English over here translates it, how have you loved us? Right? Bameh, I think, would probably translate a little bit, why, or through what, with what have you loved us, right? Most of the Mefarshim over here explain that the question means, Klal Yisrael are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu as follows, we know that you've loved us, but do you love us for us, or do you love us because of Schos Avas? Why do you love us? Bameh Ahavtanu, do you love us for us? Is it because we're so great? Or do you love us because we have nice yichus? So in answer to that question, right, let's assume that that's the question right now, answers the Navi, I love you for you. I don't love you because of your schus avos. I love you because of who you are. How do we see that? Because, says the Navi, Halo ach Esav liyakov ne'um Hashem, va'ohavis Yaakov, v'yes Esav sonesi. Right? Jewish History 101, there were two brothers, there were sons of Yitzchak Avinu, there's a Yaakov, there's Esav, they both presumably have the same schus avos. Right? I mean, they both have the schus of Avram and Yitzchak working for them. And yet, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I loved Yaakov, and I hated Esav. So don't tell me, explain the Mefarshim, that it's all about schus avos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no regard for Klal Yisrael kishela atzmon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no regard for Klal Yisrael on their independent merit. No, there's obviously something you're doing right, which is not just dependent on the schus of Avram and Yitzchak, because Horaya, the proof of the pudding is, I despised Esav, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only do I despise him, but Va'asim es harav shmama yesnach losol lisanos midbar. I've made his hills utterly desolate, and his inheritance basically has been taken over by a bunch of serpents who are crawling around because there's no human life in the areas that were occupied by Edom. We have to remember, Edom was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Edom is in modern-day Jordan. Right? So Edom was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, and its inhabitants sent into Galus, much in the same way that that Eretz Yehuda was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and its inhabitants sent into Galus. Right? As Nebuchadnezzar was sweeping through the Middle East, creating a united empire, so he basically decimated a whole bunch of different kingdoms. We obviously, you know, we care the most about his destruction of Yehuda and Yisrael, right? His destruction of the Malchus Yehuda, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash. But historically, he swept through Edom. I mean, you know, again, if you visualize the map, so Bavel is in modern-day Iraq, so he's sweeping west through Jordan into Eretz Yisrael. He knocks out the kingdom of Edom on the way, and they've been rendered desolate. Now remember, Malachi is prophesizing during the Second Temple period, right? Nebuchadnezzar is already history, right? The Babylonian Empire has been overthrown by the Persians, who gave the Jews Rishus. They gave them permission to go back and resettle Eretz Yisrael. But Edom was not Zoche to have that same act of rebuilding, right? The Jews were able to go back to Eretz Yehuda, but there was no parallel resettlement of Edom through the Edomim. That part of Jordan was left a desolate, open, destroyed area at the time that Malachi was prophesizing. So Malachi turns to Klal Yisrael and says, look, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously likes you much better than Esav, because Yaakov got a second chance. We came back after the Churban Abayis and resettled Eretz Yehuda, whereas Edom was wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar, and there's nothing to talk about. They're gone. And ki somar Edom rushashnu v'noshuv v'nivnecha ravos. Now, perhaps Edom will say, rushashnu. Rushashnu is from the Lashon of Rosh. Rosh, kivsas harosh, right, in the Sefer Shmuel means impoverished. Now, poverty is something which you can overcome. Right? The way you overcome poverty is to make money. Right? So ki somar Edom rushashnu. Perhaps Edom, who has been decimated, will say, we haven't been destroyed. We've simply been impoverished. So if we've just been impoverished, so we can correct that. You know, we'll go back, we'll have a resettlement campaign. V'noshuv v'nivnech haravos. Let's go back to Edom, right? And we'll rebuild that which has been destroyed. Kol amar Hashem tzivokos. Heimo yivnu v'ani eheros. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing doing. Right, as they say in Brooklyn, forget about it, right? Don't even think about it. You're going to go back and rebuild your desolate Edom. You're going to build, and while you're building, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to wipe it off. There won't be any rebuilding of Edom. The Karu Lahem Givul Risha, for all eternity, that area is going to be called the boundary of wickedness, of evil. V'ha'am asher zo'am Hashem, and the people of Edom will be labeled as the people who angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Olam, forevermore. That's it. They ain't getting no second chance. Klal Yisrael has come back, but the Edomim are never going to come back. They're never going to resettle Eretz Edom. Now, truth to be told, right? Of course, Chazal understand that Edom didn't vanish off the map, but they reappeared in various guises throughout history, most prominent being the Roman Empire, which Chazal identify as being descendants of Edom. True, but as Edomim per se, they never came back. They never reestablished an Edomite kingdom in what's today Jordan. Right? So as opposed to Klal Yisrael, who really reestablished themselves, Kimei Olam Uchshonim Kadmonios, they really recreated the Jewish empire in Eretz Yisrael, the Edomim, you know, okay, good, their descendants ultimately created the Roman Empire. You know, not to belittle the Roman Empire in any way, but in other words, they never really got back to what they had lost. They never really resettled Edom as an independent entity. Yeah, and it evolved, you know, gradually into the Roman Empire. But certainly the Roman Empire had its own culture, which was substantially different from whatever culture the Edomim had at the time of Bayis Rishon. I mean, other than the fact that Chazal identified that genealogically the Romans are descendants of Edom, and perhaps ideologically we see the kernel of Rishus, which we associate it with Edom, as being associated with the Roman Empire. But certainly from a cultural perspective, whatever culture they had in Edom and Bayis Rishon, it really had nothing to do with the Roman culture, you know, during the establishment of the Roman Empire. So, I mean, the Malchus Edom, the way it existed, Har Seir and all of that, you know, that basically vanished off the map. That never came back. Ve'enechem tireno. And you're going to see all of this, the Novi Malachi says to Klal Yisrael. V'atem tomru, and your response is going to be, Yigdal Hashem me'al l'gvul Yisrael. God is going to be exalted above and beyond the boundary of Israel. In other words, you see, even looking over the Jordan River to Jordan, the events that are happening in Jordan are testimony to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His destruction of Edom is a testimony to the fact that Edom has displayed rishus towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has displayed wickedness towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They got their just desserts. That in a sense, is a is also a Kiddush Hashem, is a sanctification of God's name through their decimation. Right, so in answer to the question, Bama Ahavtanu, right, how do we know? The people ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you love us for ourselves and not just because of the Schosavos. Well, you know, just the example of Esav shows that obviously Yaakov did something right where they merit to be brought back from Golos, whereas Esav, once they're destroyed, they're destroyed, they're off the map. There's no returning of the Malchus Edom to the glory that it once had. End period. And at this point, basically from this point to the end of the Haftarah switches into an entirely different set of prophecies. Now again, if we were to stop the Haftarah right here, the connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha seems to be a fairly obvious one. Right? The Parsha is about Yaakov and Esav. So the Haftarah has introduced Yaakov, Esav, their opposing fates. You know, we trace the fates of Yaakov and Esav through later history. Yaakov comes back again. Esav is utterly decimated. And, you know, the connection seems to be a fairly straightforward and easy to understand one. What's going to be problematic, however, is the fact that we don't stop the Haftarah here, right, after the first five psukim, but rather we keep reading till the bottom of the page. And as we'll see in a moment, the Haftarah radically seems to shift gears and talk about something that on the surface has nothing to do with the Parsha. Now, you may say, look, okay, you're not going to have a five-pasuk Haftarah. Granted, it's every bar mitzvah boy's dream, but, you can't just have five psukim for the Haftarah and then start the brachas. Everybody's, people will get so excited and shul that, next week when the Haftarah is seven psukim, so they won't know what to do with themselves, they'll be all upset. But, okay, afal pichem, so then what you're basically saying is the rest of the Haftarah is basically there just to round out the number of psukim, and, doesn't really have any integral connection. I'd like to argue, as a Hashem, that as we go through the rest of the Haftarah, there is an integral connection, which, again, once we see it and understand it a little better, will help us understand the parasha a little bit better as well. Pasuk Vav. Right, so let's see the second part of the Haftarah. Ben Yechabed Av, Ve'Eved Adonav. Says the Navi, okay, we left the topic of Edom on the side. Now I want to give you Musa. Says the Navi to Klal Yisrael. The last couple of psukim, I was building you up, how wonderful you are. Now that I built you up, let me knock you down a little bit. That's what Nevi'im are supposed to do. Ben Yechavet Av Ve'Eved Adonav. A son shows covet to his father. A slave shows fear for his master. So what about your relationship with me? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vim Av Ani, Ayei Kivodi. If I'm a father to you, where's the honor that's due me? Vim Adonim Ani, and if I'm a master, Adonim over here is plural, but often in Hebrew the plural can be used as a Lashon Kavod, as a way of showing respect to somebody. I mean, just very obviously, Shalom Aleichem. We don't say Shalom Alecha, we say Shalom Aleichem. It's a Lashon Kavod. Vim Adonim Ani, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if I am a master to you, Ayei Moroi, Omar Hashem Tzivokos. Right, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where is the fear? Where is the reverence that you should show for me? Lachem ha-kohanim bozei shemi. I'm addressing myself to you, kohanim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you who desecrate my name. Ba'amartem ba'amevo zinu eshemecha. So you may say, how exactly have we desecrated your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So let me tell you, says the Navi. Magishim al mizbuchi lechem migo'ol. You bring korbanos, you bring lechem, you bring menachos, flour offerings. That is all abominable, of a terrible, terrible physical nature. Va'amartem ba'mege onucho. And then you turn around and say, wait, how have we defiled you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I'll tell you. Be'emorchem shulchan Hashem nivzehu. When you say that God's shulchan, God's table, the mizbeach, is despicable, that's how you defile my name. In what way do you say that God's table, the Mizbeach, is despicable? V'chisagishuni ver lizboach ein ra. So when you bring a carbon that's blind, You know, the one you wanted to get rid of anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that you bring as a carbon. Ain ra? Oh, you think there's nothing wrong with that? L'chisagishu piseach v'chole. Ain ra? And when you bring a lame or a sick animal as a carbon to me, you think that's no big deal? Says the Navi. Hakriveyu nalepechosecho. Why don't you try bringing that animal as a present to your local your municipal governor? Right? In other words, when you're trying to pay off, you know, the local governor, so he's not going to, I don't know, he won't file a violation, you know, for the thing you have in your backyard. So why don't you try bribing him with one of these sickly animals that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash? Hayirtzecha o hayisafonecha, Amar Hashem Tzevakos, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You think that governor is going to accept it? You think he's going to show you a good time? Or is he going to take a look at this weak, sickly, despicable animal and say, a chutzpah, this is what you're bringing to me? Right? It's a rhetorical question. Obviously, the governor would say the latter. Right? How dare you bring me such a despicable animal? So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am I deserving of any less? What, you're bringing me the shirayim? You're bringing me the leftovers, you know, that nobody else would take? That's what you're bringing as a carbon? Right? You're disgracing me. You're treating me with, you know, far less respect than I deserve, because after all, you know, I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so I mean I should be treated with a good deal of respect. This concept, by the way, the post can quote this concept in terms of hider mitzvah with regard to certain mitzvahs. So in other words, one is not supposed to use, let's say, wine for kiddush, which is disgusting. Even if technically speaking it could be described as wine. But I mean wine that, you know, you'd only drink under the most pressing of circumstances. That's referred to in the poskim, hakriveyon ol pechasecha. You know, bring it, try bringing it before your governor, your local municipal official, and see if he would accept it. Yeah. V'ata chalunof nekel v'chonenu. Now that you've done this, the only thing that you can do tshuva is to plead before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him to have rachmanis on us. Miyedchem hayisazos. All of the troubles you're experiencing now, says Malachi, came because of you. Because you didn't treat the Seder HaKarbonos properly. Hayisah mikem ponim, Omar Hashem Tzevakos. Will anyone be deserving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu turning his face to us? Yisah Hashem ponav eilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom, right? That's the Birkas Kohanim. You think you're deserving of that bracha? You think you bring karbonos like this, you're going to be deserving of the bracha of getting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn his face towards you and to give you shalom, says Hashem? Mi gam bochem v'yizkor de lo sayim v'lo so'iru mizbuchi chinam. Says the Navi, I wish that somebody would shut the gates to the Beis HaMikdash. If this is the way you're going to treat the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, somebody should close the gates and put a closed sign outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Mi gam bochem yizkor de lo sayim. I wish there was somebody among you who just closed the door of the Beis HaMikdash already. That's how frustrated I am, kivyachol, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the way you treat the Beis HaMikdash. Better you should close down shop. V'lo so'iru mizbuchi chinam. And you shouldn't light the fire on my Mizbeach for nothing. I mean, here you are, you're lighting the fire and you're doing something which is despicable to me. Ein li chefetz bochem. I have no desire for you. Omar Hashem Tzevakos. U'mincha lo eretze miyedchem. And I'm not interested in your flower offerings. I've had enough. Just close, better you should close down shop than keep bringing these disgusting karbonos on the Mizbeach. I mean, the Lashon is... You know, he can imagine him saying this. I mean, he really gave it to them over the head, right? Really, very powerful. Ki mimizrach shemesh ad mevo, gadol shmi gragoyim. On the one hand, my name is so great and sanctified among the nations, from the rising of the sun till its setting, from one end of the world to the next. Uvechol mokom, muktar mugosh lishmi, umincha tahora, and in every place, Karbanos, incense, is being brought to my name, umincha tahora, and pure offerings, pure flower offerings. Ki gadol shmi bagoyim, Omer Hashem Tzevakos. Among the non-Jewish nations of the world at this point, they recognize me. They recognize my greatness, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, the Jewish people at this point have really led a miraculous existence. I think it's fair to say they're the first nation in history that ever came back from a galus. Right? At this point, the Jews were sent into exile, they came back from exile. obviously Koresh, the Persian emperor, recognized the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in allowing his people to go back and rebuild Eretz Yisrael. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ironically, we're at a point in history where the non-Jewish nations of the world maybe treat me with more respect. They have more respect for my existence and for my greatness than my very own people. V'atem mechalalim also. Right? Among the non-Jewish nations of the world, they have tremendous respect for my name. It's you people, it's you, the Jewish people, who desecrate my name. Be'emarchem shulchan Hashem megoalhu. When you say that God's table is disgusting, v'nivo, and you say with your lips, nivsvosayim, you say with your lips, nivze ochlo, that the food, the karbonos which are brought on the Mizbeach are disgusting. V'amartem, for instance, you'll come to the Beis HaMikdash and you'll say, hinei matlo'o, here, you come into the Beis HaMikdash schlepping a huge animal. And you say, here, this is such a burden. V'pachtem oso, and you throw it down on the floor. Right, like, you know, the guy comes schlepping into the Beis HaMikdash with a big animal, he's bringing a zakar, he says, oh, thank God, I can get rid of this thing. He tosses it down on the floor. Says, what? That was so bothersome. I got dirty bringing in this carbon. Have to wipe myself off. You know, the lack of respect for the carbonus is outstanding. Omar Hashem Sivakos. V'haveisem gozul v'yasapiseach v'yasachola. You bring in a stolen animal. You bring in a limping animal. You bring in a sick animal. V'haveisem esamincha. And you bring in all of these same things for a mincha with a flower offering. You think I'm really going to accept that from your hand, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Arur Nochel, the Yesh Be'edro Zachar, the Noder V'Zoveach Moshchas L'Hashem. Cursed is the person who tricks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a fine male animal in his flock, but when it comes time to make good on his promise to bring a korban, he brings a Shvacha animal, doesn't bring the ideal. Ki melech gadol ani omer Hashem Tzevaakos. You people had better realize that I'm a big important king, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmi nara bagayim. In the world out there, they think my name is awesome and awe-inspiring. And here my own people treat me, you know, like second or third rate. Ve'ata aleichem ha-mitzvah hazos ha-kohanim. Now that I've gotten through this whole tirade, I really have to direct my words, says the Navi, to the kohanim. Because the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is running in an inferior fashion is ultimately the fault, says the Navi, of the Kohanim, who are supposed to be the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash, and making sure that these sort of things are not supposed to happen. Im lo sishmu, v'im lo sosimu alev, lo seis kovet l'shmio mar Hashem Tzevaakos. If you, the Kohanim, are not going to listen, and you're not going to grant kovet, you're not going to pay attention to grant kovet, to grant honor to my name, says Hashem, so v'shilachti b'cheres ha-me'era, I'm going to send a curse against you. V'orosi esbir choseichem, I'm going to curse all of the blessings that I've previously sent in your direction. V'gam orosiha ki einchem samim alev, I have cursed it. I have cursed the land, that's probably the object of the curse. I have cursed the land because you just don't pay attention. Hineni gor lochem es hazera, I am going to be angry because of you at the seed which is planted in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to bring tremendous difficulties and ailments upon the crops in Eretz Yisrael. V'zeresi perish al pneichem, I'm going to take excrement, so to speak, and rub it on your faces. Perish chageichem, all of the karbonos, the so-called karbonos you bring at holiday times, all of their excrement, I'm going to take it and rub it on your faces. V'noso eschem elov, and the sins will be carried to you. You're responsible for all of these faulty korbanos that the people are bringing. V'idatem ki shilachti aleichem es ha-mitzvah hazos. You should know, the Navi says to the Kohanim, that I'm directing my words, I'm sending this mitzvah to improve the quality of the korbanos to you, the Kohanim, lios brisi es Levi, because historically, my covenant has always been with Levi. And I've always demanded that Shevet Levi be the ones to make sure that the religious life of Klal Yisrael is functioning the way it should. Omar Hashem Tzevaakos. Brisi hoiso ito. My covenant was always with him. with him, say the Mefarshim, either with the tribe of Levi in general. I always had a covenant with the tribe of Levi to do the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or specifically, say some of the Mefarshim, my covenant was always with him, with Aaron HaKohen, the first one in the line of the Levium. I made a covenant with him, HaChayim VaHashalom. I made a covenant with Aaron HaKohen, I made a covenant with Shevet Levi, that they should have long life and peace. Vaet Neim Lo Mora VaYiro'eni, because he feared me, I gave all of these things to him. Mipnei Shemi Nichasu, he, Aaron, or Shevet Levi, was always impressed or in awe of my name. Historically, the Kohanim had this beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malachi says to the Kohanim of his own time, don't mess it up now. Don't destroy that which had always existed as this beautiful positive relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shevet Levi. Taras Emes Haisa B'fiyu. The Shevet Levi always had the Torah of truth in its mouth. Va'avlo l'nimsa v'svasav. And they never said anything false on their lips. B'shalom v'mishar holachiti. V'rabim heshiv me'avam. Historically, the Shevet Levi always walked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in peace, in an upright fashion. And in fact, Shevet Levi was always dedicated to making sure that the multitudes would not sin. They were educators. They made sure that people did the right thing. You're betraying the mission that historically was given to Shevet Levi. Kisisei Kohen Yishmeru Das. Because the main tafkid, the main job of a Kohen, says Malachi, is not just to be a ritual functionary in the Beis HaMikdash, not just, okay, you clock in the morning, you shecht a couple of karbonos, and you clock out in the afternoon, but rather, your main job is to guard knowledge. You're supposed to be teaching people the right way to do things. B'sar yivak shum yipil. And the Jewish people are supposed to come to the Kohen to find out the Torah. Ki malach Hashem sevakosu, because the Kohen is supposed to be a malach Hashem, he's supposed to be angelic, he's supposed to be teaching the people what to do. Therefore, I charge you, says the Navi to the Kohanim, the problems that Klal Yisrael are experiencing with the Karbanos, the fact that they're really desecrating the temple service, the Avodas HaMikdash is your responsibility. Historically, the Kohanim always served HaKadosh Baruch Hu faithfully. It's your charge to step into the breach, to take charge, and to make sure that Klal Yisrael bring their karbanos properly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad kan devar. That's the end of Malachi. Not the end of Malachi, the end of this particular section for the Haftarah. It's a very, very strong Haftarah.
Such a change from the beginning.
Right, but on the surface, it's hard to understand what this whole second half of the Haftarah has to do with our Sedra of Toldos. Right? On the surface, the first couple of psukim, the first five psukim that talk about Yaakov and Esav, that's the connection. And on the surface, the rest of it is really just kind of along there for the ride, so that we should have a slightly longer Haftarah and not finish after five psukim. Before we analyze the connection between the Sedra and this part of the Haftarah, I think we have to go back just internally and ask ourselves one question before that. What's the flow of ideas from the first five psukim to the balance of the Haftarah? Right? The Haftarah starts out by basically praising Klal Yisrael. It says, you should know, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you so much. I love you so much that even once you went into Golos, I took you back from Golos. And you should contrast that with the way I treated Edom and Esav. They went into Golos, they're no more. You should realize my love for you is everlasting. You know, to talk about something we spoke about once upon a time in Tefillah. Ahavas Olam, I love you forever, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wonderful, beautiful. Okay, now that I've got you, let me bang you over the head about how you're messing up the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and let me go yell at the Kohanim for not taking charge and making sure that the Avodas HaKorbanos goes in the proper fashion. How did we get from point A to point B? So you could tell me it's just a rhetorical device. In other words, the same way the Rav gets up and, he's about to beat the Baal Batim over the head, but if he beats the Baal Batim over the head in the first 3 minutes of the Drasha, so next year he'll be looking for a different shtela. So he has to soften the blow a little bit, with a spoonful of, what do they say, sugar, rice, makes the medicine go. So maybe that's what Malachi is doing also. I love you, you're the greatest, you're unbelievable, you're much better than Edom. Okay, now I'm going to, hit you over the head.
But he doesn't praise that nation.
Right.
He doesn't praise, I love you, because I love
you. I love you. Right, okay, very good. So that is even stronger.
We don't see here any praise.
Right. Now, so then the question is even stronger. So then how do we go from point A to point B? I love you, I love you, I love you. Mm-hmm. But you're really messing up. You should know. You're having you're doing really lousy things in this Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
What is part of the deal is when Yaakov got those brothers that when they brought fall down in their jaw, then Esau's going to become had the other hand.
Right, it's a seesaw relationship.
People had an emphasis on the fact that the Zayim are recognizing Hashem, Zayim, and when a parent wants something for their child, they want the best for them, they don't want them to be punished, they don't want the other things to happen, but they may not help them.
Right, so you could say, I think this is definitely true, to the extent to which, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you over Esav, realize that the reason for that has to do with the fact that you're behaving. But if Edom is behaving better than you, in other words, if all the non-Jewish nations recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're not really treating HaKadosh Baruch Hu well, kivyachah, so realize that the seesaw might tip in the other direction, and we don't want that to happen. So clean up your act while you still have time before the seesaw bends in the other direction. I think that's 100% correct. I'd like to suggest that if we go back to the parasha and read it carefully, we'll have a little bit of more insight into the connection between the two parts of the Haftarah, from point A to point B, and also we'll have an enhanced understanding of how the Haftarah, the entire Haftarah, really fits into the parasha. So in the beginning of the parasha, everybody knows, so Yaakov and Esav have an interaction, Chazal tell us it takes place on the day of Avraham Avinu's Levaya. Esav comes back from the field, he's all tired and hungry, and basically Yaakov offers to him, I'll give you this lentil porridge, if you're willing to sell me the Bechorah, the birthright. And Esav says, yeah, no problem, here, take it, it's fine, it's yours, don't worry about it. Ask Chazal and Bereishis Rabbah, why was Yaakov so interested in getting this birthright? Right? I mean, we find ultimately that Esav, once he realizes what he's given up, runs after Yaakov with the intention of killing him. Why was it so important to Yaakov to get a hold of this birthright? So Rashi quotes the answer
for his mother.
Rashi quotes the answer that Chazal gave in Bereishis Rabbah. If you look on page 126, it's Rashi, the left-hand column, four lines up from the bottom. Bechoroscha, right? Your birthright. Right? Yaakov says to Esav, Michra chayom es bechoroscha li, please sell me today your birthright. Says Rashi, why was Yaakov so intent on getting the birthright? Explains Gracious Rabbi a little bit more. Prior to the building of the Mishkan in the desert, it wasn't the Kohanim who brought the Karbanos, it was the Becharos, it was the firstborn who brought the Karbanos. So right now, as while Esav is the Bechor, it's his privilege and his duty to bring the Karbanos. Omar Yaakov, Ein Rosho Zeh Kedai Sheyakriv LaHakadosh Baruch Hu. Says Yaakov, I can't imagine this Rosho Esav being in charge of bringing Karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've got to take this birthright from him at any cost in order to make sure that I'm charged with bringing Karbanos and not that Esav is charged with bringing Karbanos. If you look the next page, the Pasuk says on 128 that after Esav sells the Bechorah, the parasha concludes, Vayivez Esav is HaBechorah, Esav despised the birthright. It wasn't simply that he said, okay, good trade, I come out ahead, great. He hands over the birthright to Yaakov, he says, Gesunta Heid, I don't want this thing anymore, you take it, don't bother me with it, I despise it. Says Rashi, just in case we missed it, Vayivez Esav, the second line in the right column of Rashi, Heid HaKosuv Arisho Shibiza Avodoso Shalmako. Right? Since the Bechorah, the birthright, is defined as the right and the privilege and the duty to bring Karbanos, not only did Esav give that up, but he said, good riddance. I don't want the responsibility of bringing Karbanos. I'm not interested in Karbanos. Karbanos, I don't want Karbanos. You take your Karbanos, you make yourself happy. I don't want anything to do with this Avodas HaKarbanos. Say Chazal in Shmos Rabbah that why is it that the Parsha of Amalek, where Amalek fights against the Jewish people at the end of Parshas Beshalach, Why is that juxtaposed with Yisrael coming to the Jewish people at the beginning of Parshas Yisrael? So say Chazal, because there are certain differences, certain marked differences between the character of Amalek. Amalek is the grandson of Esav, right? While there's certain marked differences between the character of Amalek Esav and the character of Yisrael. For one, says the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, whereas Yisrael brought korbanos, right? You see, when he comes to visit Moshe Rabbeinu, he brings Ola Ushlamim Leilokim, he brings korbanos to Hashem, right? On the other hand, we find, say Chazal, that Amalek Esav Edom, in the Lashon of Chazal, bitalis ha-korbanos. He made light or nullified the whole concept of korbanos. So how do we know that? But quote Chazal, Vayivas Esav is ha-bukhara. Esav historically made light or belittled the concept of korbanos, as opposed to Yisrael, who elevated and gave a positive spin, and he understood the whole chashivos, the whole importance of korbanos. So right at the beginning of the parasha, we see a contrast set up between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov values the avodas hakorbanos. Esav despises the avodas hakorbanos. But that idea goes a little bit further in the parasha as well. Right. So now we fast forward a couple of years later. So the time has come. Yitzchak decides that he wants to give the bracha to his, to whom he thinks is his eldest son, Esav. He calls him in. He says, "Asei le'matamim, go and make some delicious food for me, and I'll give you the bracha." Rivka hears, right? It's page 134, right? Pasuk K. V'Rivka shomas b'daber Yitzchak Esav b'no v'yelach Esav asad l'atzud sa'id lehavi. Rivka hears this. V'Rivka amra el Yaakov b'no leimar. Hine shomati esavicha medaber leisav achicha leimor havia litzayid vaseli matami v'ochela v'avarechecha lefnei Hashem lefnei Mosi. I heard this idea that Yitzchak has to bless your brother Esav. V'atov v'nishma b'koli l'asheani mitzava osach. So now let me tell you what you should do. What should you do? Lechno el hatzon v'kachli misham shnei gedoye izim tovim v'esel so matami l'avicha kasher ohev. Go quickly to the sheep. Take two young goats, and I'll make them into supper for your father. Yes, Rashi, two young goats. Wow, that's a supper. That's a big supper. What did he eat for supper, Yitzchak? No, so Rashi writes. Shnei gedoye izim, right? Three lines up from the bottom, on the left-hand column of Rashi. V'chi shnei gedoye izim hayo maicholo shel Yitzchok? Yitzchok ate for dinner two goats? I mean, okay, one goat I understand. I mean, you got to shech the goat, so okay, you shall make part of it for Yitzchok and the rest of it shall put away. I don't know, they'll have goat that night, whatever they're going to do. But I mean, but two goats? Why do you have to shech two goats? Right? Oh, so it says Rashi el Pesach hayo. We have a tradition that this was the night of Pesach. This was probably the afternoon of Erev Pesach, really. So ha'echad hikriv l'pischo, ha'echad osa matamim. One of the goats was going to be the Korban Pesach. Again, we have a tradition that the Avos kept kol ha'tara kula kolim shenitno, that the Avos kept all of the laws of the Torah. Why did Yaakov shech two goats? One of them was the Korban Pesach, because that day was Erev Pesach, and the Korban Pesach was supposed to be brought. Why is this significant? Okay, good. That's nice. It's interesting. Okay. Funny how that came out. It was Erev Pesach. It's not coincidental that it came out that way. Because what Chazal are telling us over here is that the instrument through which the bracha came to Yaakov was Yaakov's observance of that most basic of korbanos, the Korban Pesach. After all, the Korban Pesach was the korban that launched Klal Yisrael as a nation. That was their inaugural korban, the korban that they brought in Mitzrayim to indicate that they were now a nation that was consecrated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The message implicit in this Rashi is that it's through the instrument of the korbanos that the bracha is able to descend through Yitzchak and go to Yaakov as opposed to Esav. And that just follows through on what we had at the beginning of the parasha. Because essentially we take these two concepts in the parasha and put them together. The korbanos play an integral role in solidifying the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael as opposed to with Edom. Edom bitel es ha-korbanos. Edom despised the korbanos from the very beginning. Yaakov embraces the korbanos. Yaakov uses the karbanos as a vehicle, as a medium to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The brachas come about because of this Karban Pesach, which is being sacrificed as Yaakov is getting ready to go into Yitzchak and get the brachas. Oh, so maybe we go back to the Haftarah and we understand Kaftav Aferach. We understand beautifully what the flow of ideas is from the beginning to the end. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just go back to the Haftarah inside. Ahavti Eschem, Ne'um Hashem. I've loved you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'amartem ba'mo ahavtonu. So you'll ask, ba'mo ahavtonu. Let's translate that now. Mm-hmm. By virtue of what have you loved us? Right? What did we do that you loved us? Right? So, the Navi doesn't answer directly. He says, look, let me answer you in the negative. Right? Here's Esav, your neighbor, right? The brother of Yaakov going back. Well, Esav despised the Karbanos, and I wiped him off the face of the earth. You want to know, Bamo Ahavtanu, you want to know what schutz Klal Yisrael had that you came back from Golos? You want to know why it is that I loved you? It's because you clung to the concept of Karbanos. It's because you treated the Karbanos with respect. And to the extent that now you're back in a bias Sheni, and you're not treating the Karbanos with respect, watch out. Because the whole reason that I solidified my relationship with Klal Yisrael as opposed to with Edom was because you embraced the Karbanos. Once you give up your connection to the Karbanos, so you have nothing. Right? So that's why Shilati Aleichem Es HaMitzvah Hazos Leos Brisius Levi. I've sent you this mitzvah, I've sent you this commandment to renew your connection to the Karbanos because I want to maintain that historic bris which I had with the Jewish people through Shevet Levi, you know, who are the guardians, the custodians of the Karbanos. I want that relationship to continue happening. So before it's too late, rectify your relationship with Karbanos because that's what the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael ultimately stands on. Let's add another piece to this. We landed in Pashas Lech Lecha just about 2 weeks ago. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu says, Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena. Right? Rashi interprets over there. The question is, Be'ezes Chus. What's going to be the merit which will enable Klal Yisrael to inherit Eretz Yisrael? Hence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kichali, Eglo Meshulesh, Ve'ez Meshulesh, Vesor Begozal. Go take all these things. Brisbane Absorim, says Rashi, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was getting at is B'schus HaKarbonos. The Karbonos are the merit through which Klal Yisrael are going to remain in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Black on white. Rashi and Pashas Lech Lecha. Says the Maral. So why is that? Right? The Maral and Gur Aryeh right on the spot. So why is that? I mean, why of all things the Karbonos? So says the Maral, because the Karbonos symbolize Kapara. They symbolize the ability to engage in atonement. The Mefarshim explain classically what a Karbonos do. When I see the Karbon being offered up, I think, you know, I should really be there instead of that Karbon. And in a very visceral way, it triggers me to engage in tshuva, to atone for all the sins that I've committed. Karbonos and Kapara are two sides of the same coin. Says the Maral, Klal Yisrael inevitably are going to sin. But as opposed to the nations of the world who sin and sin and sin and don't really have a real way of rectifying that, yes, there is some tshuva by the Umas HaOlam, but the concept of kapara, which is built into Karbanos, is something which they lack. So when the non-Jews sin sufficiently, when the non-Jewish nations just sin and sin and sin and sin, at a certain point, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, that's it, you know, you messed up, you know, three strikes and you're out, and that's it. Klal Yisrael always have that chance of repentance, of coming back, because the Karbanos build in this concept of kapara, so even when they're down, Klal Yisrael will always bounce back because of that connection of kapara and Karbanos which they have. So that's our Haftarah. That Maral is our Haftarah. Edom didn't have a connection to Karbanos. They sinned, they sinned, they sinned. They were wiped off the map. Even if they say, V'noshuv v'nivnecha ravos, kolam ha'ashem tzivakos hema yivnu v'ani eheros, yeah, they think they're going to come back. They're not going to come back. They're done with. They don't have Karbanos. They don't have the kapara of the Karbanos to bring them back to where they were originally. Klal Yisrael has the kapara of the Karbanos. So Klal Yisrael was zocha to have a return from Golos, to be able to come back and build a bayis sheni, Right? But what's the schus in which they have in Eretz Yisrael? Ba'amo edaki rashena. You will always be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael because the schus of the karbanos will keep bringing you back over and over and over again. And as Chazal explained in Rosh Hashanah, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, even when we don't have the actual karbanos, we recite the parshios of the karbanos. So the concept of kapara is something we can relate to. I mean, not in as visceral a fashion, but at least we understand, you know, person sinned, there's something you can do called tshuva. Reading the parshios of the karbanos inspires us in some way akin to the way the actual karban did. So Klai Yisrael always has this possibility of coming back, rebuilding something which was denied to the Umos HaOlam, who lacked that connection to the karbanos. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the karbanos are your key to survival. So don't mess up the karbanos. That's why you're Yaakov, as opposed to Esav, who was classically throughout history, Vayivez Esav is HaBechorah. Just to point out maybe two things in conclusion. Historically, again, we associate Western society with Edom. I mean, Edom, after all, we associate with Rome. We associate later on with the Catholic Church, which became the predominant religious influence in Western society. And from the beginning of the Church, one of the things which was constantly under attack was the whole system of Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Oso Ha'ish was known, one of the things that he picked on in his early tirades against Yiddishkeit was the temple, the way it functioned, the money lenders in the temple. Esav Bitel is HaKarbonos. What? You're bringing animals? You're sacrificing animals? And even through the development of Western civilization, that's always been one of the things which, you know, Western civilization looks very much askance at the whole notion of Karbonos. Animal sacrifices? That's primitive, you know. Jews, you really believe in that kind of stuff? Even within our own machana, you know, we'll talk about that Ram in just a minute if you want. But even within Klal Yisrael, when non-Orthodox movements rose up, one of the first things that fell by the wayside was the Karbanos. Right? I mean, we can deal with a lot of things. Shabbos, Kashrus, Taharas, Mishpach, okay, all these things are good. But, you know, sacrificing animals, I mean, come on. You know, that's a bechin of Esav. Esav bitel es hakarbanos. Right? And that whole manner of thinking that karbanos, come on, what do you, you know, they're primitive, they're ancient, they're outdated. Well, that's a very contemporary lesson that the Haftarah is telling us. No, they're not outdated, they're not primitive. They are the essence of the relationship which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. That's what distinguishes us ultimately from Esav, from Edom. It's our commitment to the notion of the Karbanos, the centrality of the Karbanos, and the dream that ultimately the Beis HaMikdash is going to come back with the Avodas HaKarbanos. But again, as the Rishonim explained, it's not simply animal slaughter which is taking place on a mass scale, but utilizing the Karban as a very visceral way of saying, you know, that could be me up there. As the very visceral reaction of seeing a carbon being taken apart and thinking, you know, that could be me. Our whole desire for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash is all about reasserting who we are as Yaakov as opposed to Esav. It's not surprising that the Bayis Sheni was destroyed by Edom. Chazal understand that even the Bayis Rishon, which was destroyed by the Bavliim, so the Bnei Edom play a role in it, right? That's you look in the Kapitel Tehillim, Al Naharos Bavel, right? So Chazal understand, based on Psukim in that Kapitel Tehillim, that Edom was an active participant in the Churban, even the Bayis Rishon. Why is Edom being associated with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? First time, second time, because Esav Bitel es HaKarbanos. That's part and parcel of what Esav is all about. An utter hatred for what the Karbanos represent, an utter lack of understanding for what the Karbanos represent, and an utter desire to eradicate the Karbanos, me'al p'neihu adamah, from off the surface of the earth. Once we understand that that's the connection here in the Haftarah, So we understand very well that that's what the Parsha is really trying to tell us as well. The Bechorah was sought after by Yaakov in order to solidify his own connection with the Karbanos. And it's ultimately the bringing of the Karban Pesach which allowed the Bracha to come in to Klal Yisrael through Yaakov and enable him to get the Brachas which would influence Klal Yisrael for many generations thereafter. I just mentioned the Rambam since it came up. There is a Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim where the Rambam indicates that the reason Karbanos were given to Klal Yisrael was to wean the Jewish people away from the Avodah Zarah, which was associated with Karbanos at that time. The Rambam doesn't say, people understand this in the Rambam, but the Rambam doesn't explicitly say that there won't be Karbanos in the third Beis HaMikdash, right? Rather, it's somewhat implicit perhaps in the Rambam. If the Rambam holds that the Karbanos were a means to an end, so now that we've achieved that end, one could argue in the Moreh Nevuchim that he really means that down the line there won't be Karbanos in the third Beis HaMikdash. There are various attempts to understand that Rambam. One thing that you could definitely say is that A, it doesn't represent mainstream Jewish thought. Certainly everything mainstream in Jewish thought indicates that there will be Karbanos in the third Beis HaMikdash in the traditional fashion. It also doesn't really fit in with the Rambam himself. And the Rambam wrote, Yad HaChazaka, 14 volumes of Jewish law. 2 out of the 14 are dedicated to explaining all the minutia, all the details of how the Karbanos are going to function in the Beis HaMikdash. And he makes references to the third Beis HaMikdash there. There's the Sefer Avodah, the Sefer Karbanos. Again, it's hard to understand what the Moreh Nevuchim exactly means, but I think, it's most productive to treat that as sort of an aberration, so to speak, in the current of Jewish thought, and not so much a mainstream position within Jewish thought. Certainly the mainstream position always was, as we see from the Nevi'im, from the Gemaras, from everything, that the third Beis HaMikdash will include the Avodas HaKarbanos in the traditional fashion, the way they always were. We'll pick up Ezra Shev next week with Parshas Vayetzeh. Yeah.